Blog Talk Radio.
Five, four, three, two, one. We have ignition. Strap in.
You're about to listen to the
VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies. Tonight's host, the purveyor of political pontifications, Guru Nostra.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of VOCR Radio. My name is Guru, a.k.a. Colin Knight. We have a great show lined up, lots to get to tonight. So let's set up the board, open up the phone lines. We remind you, phone lines will be open for the duration of the show.
On air live, 347-324-3287. This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
We believe probable cause exists indicating that forgery and fraud may have been committed.
President Obama's status on Arizona's ballot is in question.
Our goal in the beginning was to prove this document authentic. The problem is the evidence have taken us somewhere else.
The Rockets last night, when we took our trip to Africa and visited his home country in Kenya.
I've spoken here last. Lots of ups, lots of downs. Except for my approval ratings, which have just gone down. But that's politics. It doesn't bother me. Besides, I happen to know that my approval ratings are still very high in the country of my birth.
That Obama's literary agent of a book that was scheduled to be released in 1991, or booklet, states emphatically that Obama was born in Kenya and raised in Indonesia and Hawaii.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets on blogtalkradio.com.
Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287. And this is the second show of the season. As we continue to get used to the new bells and whistles, we hope for a smoother ride than it was last week's show, which was very, dare I say, dry. Hopefully we get into the groove of things a little easier this week and as the weeks progress. You know, after being off the air for almost 8 months, I have to accept that it's going to take some time for me to gain our once proud listener audience. I was reminded by one of our listener readers that the VOCR ratings have historically shown that the show is picked up after airing, which probably accounts for the lack of phone calls. At least we like to think so. So the push shall be on. To find a way of advertising the live phone lines and discussion, probably a long-term schedule strategy, I would think, in line with our plan to move over onto Pal Talk as a simulcast and possibly a Yahoo chat room as a simulcast. Time will tell. We are moving in with baby steps, but we are still within our 10-year mandate, which we are in year 8. Oh, by the way, post listeners would also account for heavier than normal email, which we have been experiencing. For instance, from Jim in Houston, why do you constantly slam President Obama? What gives you the right? He's the best thing to happen to the USA since the Declaration of Independence from the British. Well, Jim, I'm sure that's where you've been taught, and taught your history in that fashion is fine. Not sure how you tie the failed presidency of Obama, the collapsing economy and jobs, into the fight for independence, but okay. Maybe get someone to chuck a sacrificial tea bag into the Boston Harbor for you. Maybe that'll make you feel a little better. Michelle from Quebec, Canada. why do you not discuss the Quebec separation issue? Well, Michelle, in the West, we don't really care about the huffings and the puffings of Quebec. They continue to enjoy the transfer fees from Alberta, allowing Quebec students the lowest financial costs for education in the all of Canada. As long as you're from Quebec, that is. So as far as we're concerned in the West, we're paying our divvy whack, and they should just actually enjoy it, because there's more to come. Daniel in Portland. Not sure what to think of your show yet. Need to get used to your way of thinking, to follow your news links sometimes. Enjoy the blog. Read it daily. Can I contribute sometime? Well, Daniel, we accept opinion pieces. If you feel strongly about an issue and wish to bring it to the attention of the worldwide listening audience, then send it to VOCR at VOCR2012@gmail.com or call in and let's chat about it, 347-324-3287. Sarah from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. When is Night Talk show on? Well, the Night Talk Live is this Saturday at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. West Coast, 9 p.m. Mountain. We appreciate your emails and hope you keep them coming. Remember, if you are submitting an opinion piece for inclusion in the VOCR release service, remember to mark the RE line opinion. We don't permit personal attacks on other contributors, and we do not condone or permit seditious statements or acts. The world must stop the insanity of silence. Or am I the only one with concerns for the future of our planet? Are we destined to destroy ourselves? Is it a main plan for us to end up being there? Is that what it's about?
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. We'll be right back with more of Open Minds.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
Even though we all struggle to make ends meet, some being luckier than others, the pressure which surrounds our daily lives sometimes sends average citizens off the rails. But for the grace of God go I. There is more than saying that many citizens are 2 paychecks away from the street. The downturn of the economy certainly has not helped in reducing pressures on the home front. If you're doing okay,
remember those who are less fortunate.
Be considerate to their needs and their feelings. But for the grace of God go I.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockers on blogtalkradio.com. Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287.
For every person who got a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockers on TerraChat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification calling night.
Well, tonight I had originally planned to look back on the 4th of July and July the 5th. The idea was to show the greatness of the United States of America on its July 4th national birthday, to show the positive influence around the world that the United States were responsible for. But recent emails received and new searches for the blog has got me worried. Now, I don't normally express my personal opinion, but I've had a very colorful life, and I've been in some strange and dangerous places. I've been scared and concerned, but never as worried as I am tonight. I'm worried about the degradation of the rule of law in the Middle East, and the flare-ups of American jihadist wannabes. I'm concerned that as a Christian, I read of martyrs around the world who have given their life for simply being Christians. I see the violence and disgust shown by factions of Islam against Christians and fellow Muslims. I see immigrants who fled a war-torn country now demanding the same issues to be made law, Sharia law, which they fled from in the first place. Now, when I emigrated from England and became a Canadian citizen, I swore the oath to Canada and its laws. That was the contract I made with this great and wonderful land. It seems to me that being an immigrant, we must learn to assimilate into the society which provides safety, health care, legal standing, social services, peace. There shall always be friction for anything less. Now, I'm concerned over the inept actions of failed political cabinets in many countries. I'm very uncomfortable with the corruption in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, and Iraq. I've heard the stories of theft of NATO equipment and supplies. Now, I have been fairly fortunate to have been schooled in the workings of Pakistan and India by a very special teacher who has taught me so much on the goings-on with ISI and the Pakistan governmental actions. My guide has shown me the religious factions throughout the world which has direct connections back to Saudi Arabia. A faction known as Wahhabi, they are the financiers of most terrorist actions in the Middle East and around the world. Their belief is that Islam is the only religion and all others to be destroyed, apparently claiming to be said by Muhammad. Now, remembering Muhammad could not read or write, his statements were written by dictation and memory of a scribe. The statement supposedly created when the Quran came into being between 1632 and 1650 AD. Now, the premise is that Muhammad is the last prophet, and his words are the final guidelines from God. Now, Muslims believe Adam to be the first prophet, and they believe in Abraham, and they believe the Archangel Gabriel, and they also believe Jesus Christ was the prophet, and they believe in the Torah. Yet, we continually see Christians being assaulted and destroyed in the name of the Muslim God. Today, I read a story which chilled me to the bone. A Muslim congressman says American schools should use the Quran as the foundation. Now, this comes in from mrctv.org. Representative Andre Carson, Democrat. The Muslim congressman who said that the Tea Party would love to see black Americans hanging from a tree. Do you remember that one? Well, he made another controversial statement during a recent speech. Speaking about the American education system, Carson told the audience that American schools should be modeled after the madrasas and touted the benefits of schools and the use of the Quran as their foundation. Well, that kind of lets the cat out of the bag, doesn't it? What's your opinion?
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
How about this story recently received? Kind of caught my funny bone in a strange, sickly kind of way. Two men tried to hijack a Chinese plane, and they were beaten to death by the passengers. Yep, two men who reportedly tried to hijack a plane in the Chinese region of Xinjiang on Friday have died in hospital, according to the Global Times. The two died from injuries received in a fight with passengers and crew during the attempted hijacking of the TNN Airlines flight. Two other hijackers are in hospital after apparently mutilating themselves. A total of six men reportedly attempted to hijack the plane after it left the Xinjiang city of Hotan on Friday. The men attempted to use a crutch to gain access to the cockpit, but were beaten back by passengers and crew. Now, the government spokesman confirmed that the attackers were, now, forgive me, I'm not familiar with this tribe of Uyghurs, an ethnic group linked to Central Asian communities that claim they are repressed by Chinese authorities. Now, each of these issues that I have discussed briefly have been placed in my inbox this week by our spy associates and others for study. Now, I'm concerned because along with these issues, I received emails and Facebook drops which suggest that a rebellion is brewing in the United States. Now, this comes through fairly reputable sources and causes me a great deal of concern. We have discussed a number of times before, as a Canadian, I am very cognizant of the connection our countries share. As the largest trading partner with Canada, the United States dramatically affects the prosperity of my country, Canada. The mere suggestion of rebellion and sedition shakes the very ground of peace and prosperity. Now, I firmly believe it is the power of the votes that will win the day. But that requires participation by voters. Now, over the last week, using my super secret disguise, I slithered through the murky waters of audio chat in Yahoo and in Paltalk. Now, I went unnoticed and determined that even though there are many who try to fight the good fight and keep discussions tolerable, there continues to be a heavy presence of agent provocateurs who continuously feed their toxic discussions into honest exchanges which prevent open debate. Now, at first, I believed the agent provocateur method to be a short-lived trend. But those agent provocateurs who were the thorns in the side of good discussion have now embedded themselves into the administration of popular chat sites and now spew their venom with almost impunity. Embedded by bullying, by gang mentality, audio room raids continue to exist and the weak continue to succumb to the forceful discussions the agent provocateurs bring to the table. Political parties have recognized the value of paid chat operatives whose sole purpose is to get the message or discussion up front and center. You would be amazed at how many members in audio chats during the day are actually paid operatives from many sides. Now, with 124 days to the U.S. federal election, it appears more likely that Obama will have to play the Hail Mary in hopes of crossing the line as a winner. There are a number of major legal stumble blocks being placed in front of him to prevent him from gaining enough states to officially win. Could the Middle East conflict be Obama's wag the dog? Now, Florida is putting up a great resistance to Obama's legal team. If Obama doesn't get Florida, he might as well fold his tent. Last night, I listened to and watched a streamed radio show from Andrea Shea King. It was very impressive. It was a people's marathon to raise money to effectively mount an advertising campaign in Obama's weak states. There were so many people from all over the U.S. of A. and Canada sending money. People empowered. Very, very impressive. Now, I continue to be concerned that Iran will not be able to keep the lid on their actions for much longer without provoking some response from someone. It's doubtful that Iran are prepared to wait for a better opportunity to act in the interest of their maniacal branch of Islam. You see, Obama is weak. He does not seem to have the desire to use force on any reason, and he seems to shun the thought of force. Obama appears trapped between faith and duty. Then again, if he is not the rightful president because of his father's nationality, then he deserves the full weight of the law as written in the American Constitution. But at the end of the day, the Supreme Court will be the decider. They most certainly do not wish to pull the pin from the political hand grenade and declare Obama invalid and create a constitutional crisis. I have said this before, if Obama is not eligible, then anything signed by him is void. All acts, pay orders, laws, treaties are invalid. That also means the bailout, the TARP money, also illegal. If Obama loses, there is a potential for a would-be racial war in the suburbs. There will be looting. There will be unrest. Abroad, with all of the talks on nuclear proliferation and all of the sanctions, Iran stalled the West long enough to set a plan in motion which almost guarantees confrontation. The leaders of Iran are prepared to sacrifice their citizens and are prepared to attempt to block the Straits of Hormuz, preventing any country from profiting from oil and cutting off a major supply to Europe. 1/5 of the world's oil supply passes through the Straits of Hormuz. Israel continues to practice drone bombing runs, as they have done for months, their plans now complete and awaiting instructions. Israeli strikes against Iran's nuclear facilities will, of course, trigger an automatic response from Iran and Hezbollah. The United States and British forces, who have a pact to protect Israel, will be engaged. Hezbollah have increased their missile capabilities, and their aim seems to be getting better as they continue to attack Israel with, so far, minimum damage. Now, the story that Palestinians are broke and they cannot pay the government workers. After billions of dollars poured into the Arafat state in an attempt to maintain peace, and the reality that even the thieves have stolen from themselves until there was nothing left. The Brits and US have quietly moved into position some pretty powerful naval weaponry. Unannounced, of course, by mainstream media, VOCR reported last week that the Brits and US forces were mobilized. One thing that isn't reported is the presence of a number of nuclear-capable strike submarines, as well as a formidable British tactical destroyers, an aircraft carrier with VTO Hawks, recently refurbished just for desert warfare. The world is at the boiling point, and unless intelligent people gather to discuss the breakdown of law and order and responsibilities of citizens, we shall all perish in ignorance. That's what the VOCR is all about tonight, along with some other news. We do invite your input. Let us know what you think. Don't be a stranger. You can never be a stranger to danger. And let us know where you're at, what your mind is, what you believe.
listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network. We'll be right back with more of Open Minds.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
Even though we all struggle to make ends meet, some being luckier than others, the pressure which surrounds our daily lives sometimes sends average citizens off the rails. But for the grace of God go I. There's a modern saying that many citizens are 2 paychecks away from the street. The downturn of the economy certainly has not helped in reducing pressures on the home front. If you're doing okay,
remember those who are less fortunate.
Be considerate to their needs and their feelings. But for the grace of God go I.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockers on blogtalkradio.com.
Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287.
For every person who got a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockers on TerraChat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification calling night.
Just looking through the news today and see that NATO trucks were once again crossing the Pakistan border after about a 7-month supply blockade. Sounds like it's going to be a good thing, even though I'm quite sure the governments are receiving one heck of a kickback from the cost of per vehicle toll that I believe is now down to about $200 to cross through the Pakistan territory. That seems to be the permit price for the recent territory inclusions. Now, that could be rescinded in a moment's notice, of course, if the United States don't fly straight, according to Pakistan, and dependent basically on how much the ISI, the Pakistan Secret Intelligence, can milk out of the Americans for the NATO crossing of equipment. You see, one problem is the stuff going in most probably has to also come out. So when it's time for the actual major pullout of heavy equipment, all orifices out of Afghanistan will be considered. And whichever one is chosen or whichever ones are chosen will frankly become a gold mine for those citizens living in the
KVMTOR.
So the NATO trucks crossing Pakistan border, I think is a great sign that we are moving back into the right direction. However, the criminality and the lawlessness of Pakistan is going to prevent us from any true meaningful discussion with them for quite some time until they get their house in order. And that does not look like it's going to happen since the ISI basically germinated the Taliban during the Russian-Afghan conflict in order to defeat the Russians. And it's almost like a Frankenstein, the monster that cannot be controlled. And now the ISI just provide information, logistics, some arms, as best as they can secretly, and we're not supposed to know anything about it. The whole world is familiar with ISI. And as such, they're not exactly a secret organization. And that's unfortunate. Apparently, when we saw the housing crash and the United States' massive mega company Countrywide. Apparently, they've been found out. They made discount loans to win influence, according to House reports. So Countrywide, we're doing the nasty on the side, probably making a few points shaved here and there, and giving some preferential treatment maybe. But Countrywide, now of course they are no longer in existence for the most part. However, their financial affairs are still slowly being wound down. And as they are wound down, of course these little nuggets will come out to haunt all of the people that sat on the board of the Countrywide. Well, Obama's American story, the faces another fresh scrutiny. When Obama first took the national stage with his electrifying keynote address at the Democratic National Convention in the summer of 2004, Barack Obama, then an Illinois state senator, briefly summarized his unusual life story. With its biracial themes and transcontinental setting, he said, "I stand here knowing that my story is part of the larger American story." He added, "In no other country on earth is my story ever possible." Well, that story, of course, would become even more astonishing and profoundly American 4 years later, when its teller would be elected President of the United States of America. But the first time Obama related his life story, and in the greatest detail, was with the publication of his 1995 memoir, Dreams from My Father, A Story of Race and Inheritance. Now, the book, which won critical acclaim and rose to number one on the New York Times bestseller list, recounted the complex tale that is by now familiar to most Americans, the young Obama's racial confusion as the son of a white mother from Kansas and a dark-skinned absentee father from Kenya, his mother's remarriage to an eventual split from the boy's Indonesian stepfather, with a spell in a Muslim school in Jakarta, the boy's rearing by white grandparents in Hawaii who sent him to private schools there, and his journey through Occidental College and the Columbia University, marked by shifting intellectual worldwide views on numerous romances, and some of them were interracial, his path-breaking stint as the first black editor of the Harvard Law Review, his exploits as a community organizer and Chicago lawyer with deepening interests in politics. With the publication last month of Barack Obama, The Story, A Deep Researched, it's a 600-page study of the president's ancestry and early life by Pulitzer Prize-winning historian and Washington Post editor David Marinus. The result reflects the hyper-scrutiny that attaches to our chief executives. It also offers a window into how much of a life story of this self-made man may have actually been made up. Now, by some accounts, the story presents more than three dozen instances of material discrepancy where Obama fails to align with the facts, as Marinaris reports them. Case in point, Marinaris confirmed that Mr. Obama's mother, Ann Dunham, left his father, Barack Obama Sr., a volatile bigamist, and not the other way around, as relates in Dreams. Dreams also related the tale of Obama's paternal grandfather, Hussein Onyango, who was said to have been detained and tortured in a prison outside Nairobi for 6 months because of his brave defiance of British colonialists. But after a half dozen interviews and other research, Marinaris deemed the tale unlikely. Pretty bizarre. Pretty bizarre. It's going to get nasty out there. I kind of feel bad for both the participants, because it's just not going to be pleasant. There's no way it can be pleasant. to be under that much scrutiny, to honestly take that much scrutiny.
Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies. The voice continues after this.
But my father came from a Kenyan family that includes generations of Muslims. As a boy, I spent several years in Indonesia and heard the call of the azan at the break of dawn. I have known Islam on three continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. That experience guides my conviction.
You're absolutely right that John McCain has not talked about my Muslim faith.
The Holy Quran tells us, and the Holy Quran also says, we will convey our deep appreciation for the Islamic faith, which has done so much over the centuries to shape the world.
Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Got something to say? Need a place to vent your opinion? VOCR Blog offers you that opportunity. Send your opinion piece to VOCR2012@gmail.com on what you post. Say your opinion. Become engaged. The purveyor of political pontification, Guru Notion.
And it would appear that Mitt Romney and the Romney Victory Fund and the Republican National Committee raised more than $100 million in June for this upcoming election. Now, I have to ask, logic dictates this question, and it comes around every election. If, in fact, the job of President of the United States paid $500,000 to a minimum of 5 years, to a maximum of 8 years. So get your head around this. That's about $4 million if you take it full term. So why would a candidate spend hundreds of millions of dollars on a campaign that pays $500,000 a year? Now, we all know that politics are a dirty business. And we all know that very few of us actually know the goings-on of all of the dirty politics. We may think we know the conspiracies, those that listen to the Alex Joneses of this world, God forbid, but those that do, who believe in all of the conspiracies, that the government is inherently bad, bad, bad. If you believe in all of that, then you'd better start digging a hole real deep, because it's going to get awful rocky out there. And now it's time for everybody to step up and man up and do what they can to make sure the proper people are guiding the proper countries in the proper direction. It's not that difficult, but it has to be done. Now get this. The United States of America and NATO forces are spending $92 million to build Afghanistan a new Pentagon. Yep, a massive five-story military headquarters with domed roofs and a high-tech basement command center that will link Afghan generals with their troops fighting the Taliban across the country. Impressive, huh? But when the defense minister, Abdul Rahim Wardak, asked for a bigger office in the building, a change that would cost about $300,000, he got a firm no in response. The military headquarters building is one of the most prominent public symbols of America's ongoing financial commitment to Afghanistan. Even at this late stage of the war, with American troops beginning their withdrawal, the U.S. government is still working its way through a $10 billion menu of construction projects aimed at bolstering the Afghan security forces. Of the 1,150 buildings planned, more than 600, or more than half, have been completed, with a total value of about $4 billion. Now, in addition to the Defense Ministry headquarters, the United States is building a 54 million Kabul headquarters for the Interior Ministry, which oversees the Afghan police, as well as a $102 million base for the military's 201st Corps of Eastern Afghanistan. But with strict timelines and eroding domestic support for the war, U.S. military officials say there's little room for revision what remains to be done. That policy has already been tested at a high level with Afghan's Pentagon rising amid Kabul's dusty streets. The 516,000-square-foot edifice, still cloaked in scaffold and cranes, dwarfs the other buildings in town. Once it's finished, it will be a permanent and very significant illustration of the U.S. support for Afghanistan, Wardak, the defense minister, said in a recent interview. But Wardak said he asked for two changes to the plan, one involving the conference room and the other his office. The current configuration, with his staff situated in the adjacent room, would require dignitaries to wade through a crowd of people to get to him, he said. I have 100 or something staff. They wanted all of them to be crowded near my office, and I didn't want them that close, he said. Now, U.S. military officials said the office planned for the minister is about 1,400 square feet, and the proposed changes would have doubled its size, a more costly proposal to expand the basement command center from 4,000 to 6,000 square feet would have cost $4 million and delayed the completion now expected in early next year. In what can only be characterized as an example of Islamic savagery, an American police advisor who requires anonymity while working in the Middle East reported that some of his colleagues in the United States yesterday that an angry Pakistani mob broke into a police station, removed a man accused of being a blasphemer from his cell, beat him, and then publicly burned him to death. The law enforcement examiner corroborated the source's information last night. Now, the jailed man was arrested by police for allegedly burning a copy of the Quran in front of numerous witnesses. The illegal execution took place in the Punjab province, with hundreds of people watching as the man begged for help and mercy. Now, can you believe that? In the 21st century, can you actually believe that? The jail man was arrested by the police for allegedly burning a copy of the Quran in front of numerous witnesses. So if he was arrested by the police released him to the gang of thugs? The police were overcome and assaulted by those thugs? How did the criminal get into the thugs' hands? And how could hundreds of people stand and listen to a man beg for help and mercy as his flesh was being burned off his body? What kind of humanity provides that kind of entertainment in the local squares? Had a little bit of a smile when I was reading through the news today. Apparently, the Marine Corps Band played Mitt Romney's campaign song at the White House event yesterday. Apparently, members of the main core band created what reporters described as an awkward moment at the White House on Wednesday when they played a song usually reserved for President Barack Obama's presumed rival, Mitt Romney. While providing a soundtrack to the White House's Independence Day festivals, the band struck up a Rod Atkins' It's America, a walkout song used by the Romney campaign. Now, while the song's presence at the usual event may have been somewhat unusual, it appears that its patriotic tone was shared by Obama, who was spotted wearing a red, white, and blue cowboy hat. Oh, wasn't he looking pretty? Earlier in the day, Obama saluted troops who were gathered there for the celebration, thanking his generation of heroes for their service and sacrifice. Now, while all that was going on, the Democratic activists from New Hampshire called on presidential candidate Mitt Romney to release more extensive financial disclosure forms and pass tax returns to prove he paid adequate taxes during the years that he was governor and prior to deciding to run for president again in 2011. Now, Ned Helms, he's a veteran and former Obama state campaign co-chairman, and Ray Buckley, the head of the New Hampshire Democratic Party, lashed out at Romney, saying he was not equipped to fix the American economy and would take country in the wrong direction. Now, Buckley pointed to recent press reports from Vanity Fair and Associated Press, now there's two you should be watching, which purport to show that Romney failed to report interest in accounts he had in Bermuda, the Cayman Islands, and Switzerland in filings with the Massachusetts State Ethics Commission. Now, Helms stated that Romney would use top-down tactics if he became president and had made billions at Bain and Company while harming middle-class families, shipping jobs overseas, dismantling companies, and firing workers. Wow! Now, those who read the news and follow business knows that Romney did nothing of the sort. Democrats are most certainly clutching at straws. Most certainly clutching at straws. But it's kind of curious to watch how the political process unravels with 120-some days left before the American people make a decision. But I think it's only fair that the VOCR do as much assistance as possible to all of the candidates. So we've given some free airtime. Anyway, give it a listen.
And now a word from the President of the United States of America, President Barack Hussein Obama.
Sorry, I just noticed that I jumped the gun here. Go ahead and move it up.
We now return you to normally scheduled programming. Phone lines are now open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Looking to contact the show? By email, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com. Come to the blog site and choose your poison of how you'd like to chat with us. So, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com for more information.
If I was you, I'd stay away from the vocrradio.com. We seem to be having some issues. The naming rights of that have been issued by two independent agencies, and they're fighting it out to see who owns it. We are registered under that website, www.vocrradio.com, but for some reason, so is somebody else, and it could get a little technical. So hang on to that one. Head for the terrorchatnet.com, www.terrorchatnet.com, and you'll be able to link up with Night Talk Radio and also the VOCR websites and get all of that done. If you want to go to Night Talk, of course, Night Talk Direct, no issues there. Just type in www.nighttalkradio.com. So that's a little blurbs and slurbs. WikiLeaks, wow. They're in the process of publishing material from about 2.4 million Syrian emails, many of which it said came from official government accounts. Oh, this is going to be fun. Now, WikiLeaks' Sarah Harrison told journalists in London's Frontline Club that the emails reveal interactions between the Syrian government and Western companies, although she declined to go into much detail. Now, Harrison quoted WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange as saying that the material is embarrassing to Syria, but it is also embarrassing to Syria's external opponents. Now, what on earth do you think that means? It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Makes you question.
KVNM Tour.
Well, here's a story that with 8 minutes to go on the clock, I mean, I can't resist it. I got to throw this one in because it's worthwhile. Linda McMahon, you know, the former president, wrestling CEO, WWE, and Vince McMahon and all the others, well, she's making another bid for the Connecticut Senate. Yep. Soon after Linda McMahon suffered a three-count smackdown, she was back on her feet buying post-election TV ads to thank supporters and looking to get right back in the ring. Now get this, after spending nearly $50 million of her own fortune a couple of years ago in losing bid for the U.S. Senate against Democrat Richard Blumenthal, the former World Wrestling Entertainment CEO still has her eye on the prize. Like championships belts, one Senate seat from Connecticut is as good as another. Now, this time, it's a seat being vacated by Senator Joe Lieberman, who I have personally a great deal of respect for. The one-time Democrat vice presidential nominee and later self-declared independent. In 2010, it was a seat of retiring Democrat Senator Chris Dodd, I believe it was, that Linda McMahon went after. Now, McMahon is again casting herself as the outsider and her opponent as the polished establishment political pundit. So, it's much like WWE wrestling. There's a good guy and a bad guy, and they're going to build a story around that. But, you know, she's hardly the upstart underdog this time. She enjoyed nearly a 2-1 edge in delegates over former Republican Christopher Shays at the state's Republican convention in May. The most recent statewide poll of registered Republicans showed her with 59% to 30% for Shays heading into the August 14th primary. Interesting. And as we head into the final 6 minutes or so, I just want to make sure everybody is aware of the warning about the internet problem that's been splashed across Facebook and Google. Internet service providers have sent out notices, and the FBI have set up a special website. But tens of thousands of Americans may still lose their internet service by Monday, unless they do a quick check of their computers for a malware which could have taken over their machine more than a year ago. Despite repeated alerts, the number of computers that probably are infected is more than 277,000 worldwide, down from about 360,000 in April. Now, of those still affected, the FBI believes that about 64,000 are believed to be in the United States. Now, users whose computers are still infected Monday will lose their ability to go online, and they will have to call their service providers for help deleting the malware and reconnecting to the Internet. Now, the problem began when international hackers ran an online advertising scam to take control of more than 570,000 infected computers around the world. When the FBI went in to take down the hackers last year, the agents realized that if they turned off the malicious servers being used to control the computers, all the victims would lose their internet service. In a highly unusual move, the FBI set up a safety net. They brought in a private company to install two clean internet servers to take over for the malicious servers so that people would not suddenly lose the internet. But that temporary system will now be shut down at 12:01 a.m. EDT Monday, July the 9th. Now, most victims probably don't even know their computers have been infected, although the malicious software probably has slowed their web surfing and disabled their antivirus software, making their machines more vulnerable to the other programs. But popular social networking sites and internet providers have gotten more involved, reaching out to computer users to warn them of the problem. So we have a problem out there, and it looks like a very real problem, and it needs to be taken care of. And if you are out there and you haven't swept your computer for a while, or you know you have a problem, you know, don't wait for your hard drive to fall off. You know, the first sign of scratching is get yourself to a fix-it man, right? Don't let your hard drive fall off. Get fixed so we can get rid of this worm, virus, malware that's on our systems, so we don't have to worry about crap like that on the internet, so that we can move into more important circles, so that we can deal with more important problems. Unfortunately, the internet is being considered mainly as entertainment. And even in the audio chat rooms, that entertainment turns into some pretty violent, vicious, disgusting, nasty messes. And when that happens, really the discussions that come out of there are worth very little. The internet originally had a fantastic idea of linking great minds together so you could discuss in honesty and debate the problems that we have in our society. Unfortunately, we've ended up with the internet.
In the dead of night, when all is dark and all your daytime worries in your view, in the dead of night, expanding your mind to the great world about you. In the dead of night, when the night winds howl in the sacred hollows of the castle walls. In the dead of night, when all is still, will you be tonight? And now a word from the President of the United States of America, President Barack Hussein Obama.
Sorry, I just noticed that I jumped the gun here. Go ahead, move it up.
Now,
We
now return you to normally scheduled programming. Phone lines are now open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Looking to contact the show? By email, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com. Come to the blog site and choose your poison of how you'd like to chat with us. So, vocr2012@gmail.com for more information. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. Hey there, got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, and we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio. This has been a TerraChat Network production. www.terrachatnet.com.